Okay, we'll turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And so we were talking about the armor of God and putting on the armor of God. And so last week we talked about, in verse 14, girding ourselves with the truth. And we talked about how that's, that is the... The truth and we isn't just simply saying what the scripture says, because we even looked in by the end of class last week that Satan, when he's tempting Jesus, tempted Jesus and he used scripture and twisted scripture to tempt Jesus. And so the truth is handling accurately the truth, not just having the truth, not just speaking what's in the scripture, but handling it accurately, saying it in the right context and understanding it correctly. So we're going to move on in verse 14 to putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what does it mean to be righteous?
Pure.
Christ-like. Anybody else have any thoughts? Not really a wrong answer.
There's no right answers.
Unless you say unrighteous, but I mean that's...
Obedient,
okay. Holy. Anybody else?
Faithful.
What's that?
Ethan says faithful.
Faithful, okay.
Truthful.
Okay. So, the definition of, our English definition of righteousness... is characterized by uprightness or morality, morally right or justifiable. And so when we're talking about what the scripture meaning is righteous, what does it mean to have on the breastplate of righteousness? And I guess the one thing to point out is, so the breastplate is guarding the obviously the chest cavity, which guards the heart. Okay, so you have the righteousness is guarding the heart. And so in order to understand, in order to maybe to guard our heart, we need to understand what righteousness is from a biblical perspective. Let's turn to, we're going to spend a lot of time out of Ephesians 6 today and a lot of time in Romans 4. Let's turn over there. Romans chapter 4. And someone want to read 1 through 3, please.
What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not credited as favor, but as what is due.
Okay, so when we're looking at that Abraham wasn't justified by the works, or another way to say it, wasn't justified by the works of the law, is what he's going to kind of go into here in a little bit. But works in general, as in he wasn't righteous because he did these righteous things. Okay, now I'm not saying that we're not going to go and say that we don't do righteous things, because I think that when you are righteous, that overflows and you're going to do righteous things. But just because you do righteous things does not make someone righteous. What made Abraham righteous? Abraham was righteous. It was reckoned to him or credited to him as righteousness because he believed God. This is a quote from Genesis chapter 15. Let's turn back to there, Genesis 15. In the first few verses here, God is of Genesis 15, God is talking to Abram, which is later changed to Abraham. Now, someone want to read verse 1 through 6, please, of Genesis 15.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. That's how Mr. Simpson says it, so that's how it's supposed to be said. It says, fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir, for your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and number of stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness.
Okay, so the word believed here, the Hebrew word, means, it's the Hebrew word amen, is what it is. And it means to confirm or to support. Okay, so it's like, you know, and the Greek word is, the equivalent Greek word would be amen, you know, which is a lot, we always say at the end of a prayer, you know, the idea of saying amen, or if you agree with someone, you know, amen, you know, that's, I confirm, I support that, I agree with that, that's how it is, I believe it to be. And so it's not just Abraham just simply, I guess I believe God. It's he's supporting, he is confident that God is going to accomplish this. And so he, because he believed in that way, because he was sure that God was going to accomplish this, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Okay? Let's turn back to Romans chapter 4. So Romans chapter 4, we're going to continue here a little bit, and Paul really kind of goes, details the fact that it's not based on works, it's based on belief. Now we're going to, or faith, now we're going to touch on faith, obviously that's another part of the armor a little later. So we're going to hit it from this side, we're going to hit it from the side of belief first, and we'll talk about it later in a couple weeks about on the idea of action. But in verse 4 through 5, again, I still want to read that, please, of Romans chapter 4.
Now, if the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited to him as righteousness.
Okay, so Paul is emphasizing here in Romans 4 is that the one who doesn't work, the one who doesn't achieve a righteousness through works, okay, that's accredited to him as righteousness. Okay, the one who works is, you know, is, it's due to him, but the one who believes is justified, that he justifies the ungodly, and his faith is reckoned or accounted to him as righteousness because he believed that God is going to do it. So it's outside of works that God is, that true righteousness is achieved. Let's continue on in verse 6 through 8, please.
Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account.
Okay, so David here, Paul chosen quotes David, and he is saying that David also speaks of the blessing that is reckoned apart from works. Okay, this is a quote from Psalm 32. Let's turn back there a second. Psalm 32. Some want to read verse 1 and 2, and then verse 5.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Okay. So something to think about. Was David speaking in reference to the law here? You think about it for a second. You know, it's Old Testament. But David isn't speaking in reference to the law. First off, if you see, look in verse 5, he says, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and that will forgive the guilt of my sin. So when he's talking there is that David is, for one thing, looking forward to when this transgression would be forgiven, because the blood of bulls and goats didn't take away sins. Okay, and Hebrews says that only Christ's sacrifice took away sins. So David is not talking in reference to the law here. He is talking in reference to faith, and he's looking forward. And one reason, if you go back to Romans chapter 4, one major reason why we know that David is not talking in reference to the law is because that's exactly what Paul says in Romans chapter 4, verse 6. He says that David speaks of a blessing upon a man to whom God reckons righteous apart from the works. And the context that he's talking about here is the works of the law. So apart from the works, apart from the there's no righteousness, righteousness wasn't achieved in the law because they couldn't take away sins. It couldn't produce a person perfect in conscience. And David wasn't even saying that when he's talking about, I confess my sin to the Lord, he said, and he forgave the guilt of my sin. His sins weren't forgiven until Christ had the sacrifice, but David was looking forward, and we'll kind of tie that up towards the end of the study today, but he's looking forward to when that was taken away. And so, but David he's saying there in reference to a man who is blessed apart from works, and he quotes that. So David is looking forward to when he's right in Psalm 32, he's looking forward to that time of when someone is going to be blessed apart from the works, and their sins are going to be forgiven apart from the works, because the sins couldn't be forgiven from the works of the law. Let's continue there in verse 9 through 12 of Romans 4.
Is this blessing then upon the circumcised or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was reckoned to Abraham and as righteousness. How then was it reckoned while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised. That righteousness might be reckoned to them, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also followed in the steps of the father of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised.
Okay, so notice how Paul is addressing this here, is that was the blessing reckoned to Abraham while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? So was it, it's another way of saying, was it according to the law or was it according to faith? And the obvious answer, as he's saying there, is that it was faith that was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. See, it wasn't that Abraham kept all these things, it was the faith that was reckoned Abraham as righteousness. Now, I'm not saying that Abraham didn't do some things. Now, he wasn't even under the law of Moses. It wasn't inaugurated when he was still alive. But he wasn't righteous simply because he left his home. He was righteous because he believed that God was going to be faithful when he left his home. Okay? He wasn't righteous because he he went through with killing Isaac, and God stopped him. He was righteous because he believed that God was still going to accomplish what he'd promised to him. And so even though he would have went through and killed Isaac, if he was going to, he wasn't going to withhold Isaac from God, then he received him back. So it wasn't the work that he did or the action simply in that alone. It was that he believed in that, and that's what we're going to tie in a little later when we talk about faith. He believed in that, and therefore he carried it out, and that's why it was perfected. But before we get there, notice what he says there, that he is, how was it reckoned while he was circumcised in verse 10, or uncircumcised, not well circumcised, but yet uncircumcised. And then he, in verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of righteousness of faith, which he had while uncircumcised. So the circumcision was just a seal of the faith of the righteousness that he had prior to that. So he wasn't circumcised because he wasn't righteous because he obeyed God and was circumcised. He was righteous before that, and that was a seal. Okay? So then notice what he says in verse 12. He says, first in verse 11, he's the father of those without being circumcised, that righteousness may be reckoned to them, and the father of the circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but also who are also follow in the steps of faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. He's referencing there those who are circumcised that didn't put stock in the flesh, but followed in the example of faith that Abraham did, like David. Because David also wasn't righteous according to the flesh. And that's what in Psalm 32 there, when he quotes that, when he says that blessed is the man, as we see here in verse 7 and 8 of Romans chapter 4, that Paul quotes David from Psalm 32, and he says there that David speaks of that of a man that attains, or that can, it can be reckoned righteous apart from the works, apart from the law, apart from the flesh. So the righteousness that Abraham had was based upon faith that God was going to achieve, and those who follow in that, whether they're circumcised or uncircumcised, have to have the same attitude of faith that God is going to accomplish that, and that's how it's reckoned to them as righteousness. That's how it's reckoned to us as righteousness. It's not reckoned to us as righteousness because we're either circumcised or uncircumcised, because of the works of the law or because of not works of the law. It's reckoned to us righteousness because we trust that God is going to accomplish, and we believe like Abraham believed. Let's continue in verse 13 through 17.
For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there also is no violation. For this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, the father of many nations have I made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist.
Okay. So it's not the promise of Abraham being in descendants to be an heir of the world wasn't through the law. And he points out in verse 14 that if it was through the law, faith is made void and thus the promise is nullified. So if it was through the law that God was going to accomplish that, if it was through that, then the faith is nullified, then the promise is or the faith is made void and the promise is nullified because God didn't make it to Abraham on the basis of the law. Let's turn to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. So I want to read verse 15 through 19.
To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one. And to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. How far, Kirk?
19.
For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Why then the law? It was added to because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels who by an intermediary.
Okay. Yeah. So when God is when he is talking there and Paul is saying that when a promise when it's a man's covenant, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. So the promise that God made to Abraham was based to his seed or his offspring, talking about Christ, not talking about offsprings, not talking about seeds, not talking about descendants. But it was made 430 years in verse 17 before the law. So the law coming along doesn't invalidate it. And so Abraham's promise, the promise to Abraham, the faith that he had was based prior to the law, and it was based upon the righteousness that he had was based upon the faith that God was going to accomplish it, because Abraham didn't even see the law, let alone the promise that was going to happen through him. Abraham didn't see the things that God was going to accomplish, the being the father of many nations. He didn't see that. But he had faith that God was going to accomplish that because God was faithful. And he trusted that God was faithful. And that's why he was righteous. That's why I was reckoning him as righteousness. If turn back to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21.
Faith, he contemplated his own body, not as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform.
So Abraham was fully assured that God was able to perform what he had promised. He had hope against hope. In hope against hope, he believed that he might be a father of a multitude of nations, in verse 18. He considered his own body as dead, in verse 19. And he didn't waver in unbelief, in verse 20, but he was fully assured. And the faith that he had, as it says in the next verse, but he had that because he was righteous because he had the faith, because he was fully assured, because God was going to accomplish that. He was able to perform what he had promised. You know, because Abraham didn't see any of this. He didn't see it, any of it. He saw it from a distance, as we'll see here in a second in Hebrews, but he didn't see it. None of it came to pass while he was still alive. So he had to believe that God was going to accomplish it. I mean, how easy is it for us to say if someone was dying and we say, oh, yeah, we'll do something, do that for you. But after they die, and how are they going to know whether we did it or not? But he believed that God was going to do it. And God did do it. Abraham didn't see that. But he was assured that fully assured that God was going to do that. And so when he believed, or as the Hebrew word would say, you know, he's confirmed, or amen, that's right, that's going to happen because you said it. That's what he had, that type of faith, which that's the faith that was reckoned to him as righteousness. It wasn't that they had a child. It wasn't that he was circumcised. It wasn't that he left his home and went to this place as a sojourner. That didn't determine his righteousness. It determined his righteousness because he believed that God was going to accomplish what he had promised. Verse 22 through 25. Okay, so we have the same because we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. It was written as an example for us so that we could say that God is faithful to Abraham. We know God is going to be faithful to us. And so we can have the righteousness that we can have, right, the righteousness, because true righteousness, because we are fully assured that God is going to accomplish what he said. Are you fully assured that God is going to accomplish what he had promised? You think about that in respects to preparing to die. Okay, so we're fully assured that God is going to accomplish that. Was God faithful before? And so that is righteousness. It's not, man, I hope that I keep enough stuff and do enough things and my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. I know that's kind of a worldly picture of that, but that's not how righteousness is counted. That's not how righteousness is credited, about how many good things I do, if my good things outweigh the bad deeds or whatever. Or I've done all this, or I went to the assemblies and I did all this stuff and that's righteousness. Well, no, it's not. It's the faith that God is going to accomplish even when doing that stuff. That stuff is not bad to do. It's just if it's not with the faith that God is going to accomplish it, then it's really not righteousness. It's just works. And that's not how Abraham was faithful. That's not how Abraham was righteous. He wasn't righteous based upon works. He wasn't righteous through the law. He was looking forward that God was going to be faithful and do what he said he was going to do and carry out what he promised. That David wasn't righteous according to the law. David also looked forward to a time when God was going to no longer hold sins against people. And in Psalm 32, he looked forward to that. He didn't have that. He looked forward to it. So he was righteous because of his faith, not because of any works that he did. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 4. The guy who did the Lord's Supper walked all over this passage this morning that I'm reading. Verse 21, Galatians chapter 4, 21 through 31. Someone want to read that, please.
Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the one by the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, where she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so it is now also. Now what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman.
Okay. So I want to read this to bring up something. What happened when Abraham didn't act outside of the promise? We have Ishmael, right? So when if you're doing it, if Abraham was righteous based upon the works, because that's what it was, is that, well, we can't have a kid, so Sarah's like, you know, take my slave, and I'll have children through her. So when it's according to the works of the flesh, and it doesn't go as God designed, that's not righteousness. When Abraham took it in his own hands, but when he had faith that God was going to accomplish based upon the promise that he made, that was reckoned as righteousness. See, it's not the works of the law that credit someone as righteous. It's not the thing. That's not the physical works. Yeah, those things obviously play a part as a result of righteousness, I should say. It's the faith that God is going to accomplish what he accomplishes it in, and that is righteous. Someone getting dunked underwater doesn't forgive their sins and doesn't receive the Holy Spirit unless they have faith that God is going to do it. So it's not getting dunked underwater that does that. It's the faith in getting dunked under the water or immersed underwater that does that. See? It doesn't, taking the Lord's Supper doesn't make us part of the body of Christ or keep us part of the body of Christ unless it's done with faith in the right manner. See, a lot of people take some bread and drink some fruit of the vine and they're not taking the Lord's Supper because they don't do it in the right manner. Praying, saying some words of prayer. You can say whatever prayers and whatever words you want to say doesn't do anything if it's not done right. It doesn't, if it's not met with faith that God is actually going to accomplish, why are we praying? If God's not going to accomplish it, why are we asking him to accomplish it? See, it's not that the physical action of immersion is wrong. It's definitely not wrong. But unless faith is in that, it's not righteous. It's not that the Lord's Supper is wrong. Unless faith is in the Lord's Supper, it's not righteous. It's not that praying is wrong, but unless there's faith in prayer, it's not righteous. Jesus talked about those who just pray just for their words. It just goes, you know, they have their reward. It doesn't even reach the Father. So it's not that those actions are wrong, and we'll get into that a little bit more when we talk about on the faith side of the shield of faith, but it's not that those actions are wrong. If they're not rooted in faith, they're not righteous, and nothing happens. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, so I want to read 8 through 15. Actually, 8 through 16.
By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. But he was looking forward to a city that has foundations,
16, please.
These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having the knowledge that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But, as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city.
Okay. So notice, and we could keep going on, and before the passages before we, the verses before which we read, and verses after, and talk about the faith, and it's going to cross over with a little bit with our when we talk about the shield of faith for sure. But they had the faith that it was going to happen how God said, and they died in faith without receiving the promise. See, they didn't have it. If you go back to the first verse of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So they didn't see it. They could see it from afar, as in they knew that God was going to accomplish it. They considered him faithful who had promised. He was able to perform. And they had faith that he was going to do that. And that is why they were righteous. You go back even to Hebrews 10. We'll start in verse 36. It says, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised, or the promise. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But the righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith in the preserving of the soul. For faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So you notice he says there, the righteous one will live by faith. See, they aren't, and going with what we studied already, we aren't righteous based upon something prior than faith. We are righteous because of the faith, because the righteous will live by faith and be convicted and assured of the things that they don't see that they are going to get. That's going to happen. Abraham didn't see that, and that goes right into Hebrews 11. They didn't see that. They believed by faith when he was called, he obeyed. Obedience by itself isn't righteousness. By faith being obedient is righteousness. Because it was through faith that he did that. The same with Sarah, the same with Jacob and Isaac and Noah, which was prior to that, or Moses after that. All those guys, and he doesn't even have time to name all of them. Of David and Barak and Samson and so on. They saw the things from a distance, but they didn't have them. They didn't receive the promise. They saw it from a distance, and they confessed that they were strangers and aliens on earth, but they died in faith. They died looking forward that was going to happen. You think that David, you know, think a little bit a second. When David prophesies in Psalm 16, when he's talking about that, thou will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or allow my flesh to suffer decay. Okay, that's a prophecy about Jesus, but you probably could maybe have, there's a little bit that David's hoping in that as well. Because the only way that David's going to be freed from Hades or Sheol is if Jesus is. See, that's the thing, is that when Joseph was sold into captivity and Jacob said, my soul is going to go down to Sheol, okay, that's the place of the dead, okay? And they understood that, hey, they're lost physically. But they looked ahead and they knew that God was going to be faithful, that he was going to be faithful in his promise, that he was going to bring them up. And that was obviously through, their faith was through Christ there. It wasn't through the works of the law. They didn't have faith in the works of the law. They didn't have faith in the blood of bulls and goats. They didn't have faith in keeping the commandments. They had faith that God was going to accomplish what he had promised, that he was going to establish the kingdom, that he was going to make Abraham the father of many nations, that he was going to forgive their sins. They had faith that he was going to do that. And that's why they are righteous. And so when we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness, faith is the source of that, or the foundation of righteousness. It's because we believe that God accomplishes what he promised, not because we have done some certain things. Well, they've been baptized. Doesn't mean anything if it's not done in faith. Anybody have any comments?
It's either a prince or a king that has leprosy. Mm-hmm. He's told to bathe in the Jordan, I believe, seven times, and he doesn't understand why.
Right.
But it's the same thing, because it's not what you do, it's the faith.
Right. Yeah, he was saying, you know, he was mad, and his servants liked it. If he would have said, go do something great, he probably would have done it. But since it was something, you know, simple in that, he had to believe that God was going to do that. That'd be, you know, the seven times that he dunked in the water there. If he didn't think that God was going to do anything there, then it wouldn't happen. But yeah, it wasn't, the Jordan was a dirty, that's what he references there too, is the Jordan was a dirty river. So why, how's that going to make him clean? Well, it wasn't the physical thing that made him clean, it was the faith in him doing that. Anybody else have any comments? Okay, we'll pick up in Ephesians again next week.